listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We hope to be joined by Mark Brunell shortly, but we still have our guy right now on the line, Al in Mansfield. Al, your thoughts on the decision, or the reported decision, to make Johnny Manziel the starter of the Cleveland Browns?
I've always been kind of a Hoyer supporter, but I am excited to see what Johnny can do when he gets in there. I think that we're due for a little bit of a fresh start. Hopefully this will get things turned around. But I had a question about, do you think Hoyer's, I hate to call it a downfall, but I don't know what else to call it, is due more to what he did or due to what the defenses did against him? And do you think the fact that it was a contract year was a factor in how he played the last few games?
I think that it is much more due to what he did this season. I think if you look back, Brian Hoyer completed more than 20 passes just twice since week five. He has been under 50% completions during that span in two of the last four games, 14 of 31, 20 of 50. And if you take it back to the Jacksonville game, he had another game there, 16 of 41. He has not thrown a touchdown in three straight games with seven interceptions, one touchdown, eight interceptions in the last four games. And here's an interesting stat I heard yesterday. No quarterback in the NFL has multiple games without a passing touchdown and two or more interceptions other than Brian Hoyer, who has three in a row. And I think you just have to look at the performance. I think also one of the things I remember I talked about, I did think that this team could go to the playoffs with Brian Hoyer. However, I thought that he would have to be efficient. He would have to take care of the football. He'd have to do the things he did over the first five games of the season. I also wonder, though, once teams got a lot of tape on him, and this is what you can tell me, Matt, better than I would know myself, is that once you get, let's say, eight games of tape on somebody, how much better are you able to assess their strengths, weaknesses, their comfort zones, their uncomfort zones?
Significantly. And not only just Brian Hoyer, but this offense as a whole. Because I think that as well as we ran the football early in the season and as well as Brian Hoyer played early in the season, I think a lot of teams figured it out. And as, again, to make that point, the teams that have been most physical with us and the teams that have stopped the run have limited Brian Hoyer's efficiency as the season has gone on. So that recipe to beat the Cleveland Browns is out there. We talked about the exposure or how exposed we looked against a winless Jacksonville Jaguar football team. And you've just seen different teams, both 4-3 and 3-4s, some with their starting players, some without, thrive against the Cleveland Browns, because if you can make it to the NFL as a player, you're good enough to play. And then all they do is they put you in a scheme with an opportunity to win, and Brian Hoyer is just giving the football away. And I think in some cases, because if, again, you look at, he stares down his first read, he doesn't have the strongest arm, and in some cases he was persevering with, you know, second, third, and fourth team wide receivers earlier in the season, just getting by. You know, and then of course you get Gordon back, and then you want to force Gordon the football, which only draws a bigger bullseye on both Hoyer and Gordon. And I think in some cases he created a little bit of disconnect between him and his rapport with the other wide receivers. So it's a multitude of things. But that being said, Nathan, to get back to your question, it is absolutely a fact that the more tape you have on someone, the more you understand them. And then also, too, even more so, I don't think this scheme with Kyle Shanahan, as great as he was calling plays and was hitting his groove against some bad football teams, they have lost touch with that groove, and they haven't been able to come up with that magical scheme the last few weeks, and have gone out there with what seems like a very vanilla plan, and that will get eaten up week in, week out by an NFL defense.
When you also factor in confidence, when a player's confidence begins to wane and they start to press, how much does that impact their performance? Because I think that's something that really has become an issue with Brian Hoyer. I think from listening to his press conferences that his confidence in himself has wavered. And I know a lot of people have been giving a lot of flack to Josh Gordon for running the wrong routes or Jordan Cameron. And that's fine. They can be to blame. But on the Jordan Cameron one in particular, that interception in the end zone, Brian Hoyer stared down that side of the field the entire time. There's no way that he didn't see that coming and see Cameron in the wrong area. And now if he had looked to the backside, Josh Gordon was wide open on the slant, and if he had looked even further to the backside, Isaiah Crowell had leaked out the backside, and there was nobody over there defensively. So he still – ultimately, when you're the quarterback – and I know other guys can cause mistakes. There was the one where Josh Gordon should have crossed in front of the safety against Buffalo. That is on Josh Gordon. This one, though, with Jordan Cameron, I felt was more on Hoyer. Ultimately, you have to decide what to do with the football, and he was looking there the entire time. And I think that as tape came out, I think teams took away what Brian Hoyer did well. They tried to force Brian Hoyer to throw the ball into tighter windows in the middle of the field, and that's where he struggled, and that's why teams were able to capitalize on it.
You're right, and through everything that you just said, the a few things that I always jot down when someone's talking, because I want to make this point, is the one thing that I don't think we can continue to see in Brian Hoyer, we saw early in the season, is growth as a starting quarterback. You know, we've questioned his footwork all season. We've questioned his arm all season. We've questioned his accuracy all season. And those things have actually gotten worse in the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And he's just not progressing as a quarterback. You know, he looks less comfortable now, as everybody says, well, let's give him a year to start. He looks less comfortable now in the pocket, rolling out, and the rapport with his receivers than he did 6 weeks ago.
That's the issue. It has been a constant
regression. It's a constant regression, and he's not growing. And then and lastly, and I know I beat this like a dead horse, but I watch football all weekend long. We get, you know, you watch a number of games. If you have the NFL ticket, you can flip through every dang game that's on every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever it is. And you look at the other quarterbacks that are out there. And if you can wholeheartedly walk into the studio and say, Brian Hoyer can start for 16 or 20 other football teams in the National Football League, you're on some serious drugs, or you're tipping back the bottle, because that is not true. And I know that because I not only have played football, but I watch it. He would be a backup in this league for 25 other teams in this league. And there's a reason why he's only reportedly going to go, if he's not here in Cleveland, to one other team in the National Football League. That 31 other got to be 30 others have to be correct, do they not?
Well, there was a time when he was on the street and the Browns were the only team that signed him. He was on the street. The Browns brought him in. And Brian Hoyer gave a lot to this team, and he did. I think it's
no
just
doubt.
Over time, the limitations of his skill set have been exposed. And I think he got away from some of the things that made him the kind of player that he was early in the season. His footwork deteriorated, and his accuracy continued to deteriorate. Even though it wasn't so great early, it happened. And you just could tell this was a guy who was struggling. I thought his interview yesterday was very interesting, saying
yes,
that he needs somebody on the team to step up and make a play. And you know what? I wish him the best, and if he gets an opportunity to play again, I hope he does have success. But I think at this time, there's no question that it is the right move for the Cleveland Browns. It may have been a week too late, but at least it is the right move for the Cleveland Browns at this time.
You're right. And one other quick point, and I just want to talk about myself and my career. The detriment of me and my career as a starter in the National Football League was simply centered around me getting comfortable. I wasn't pressing anymore. I wasn't hungry anymore. I got comfortable answering the questions. I got comfortable marching out there as a starter every week because I thought I was entitled to that position. And I would regress, but talk myself into the fact that it wasn't as bad as it really was week after week after week, until the coach, it finally caught up to me, and the coaches brought their heads together and said, we need a change. And it just so happened to be at my position. And it was, again, it wasn't the end of my career, because again, I played 3-4 more years thereafter, but it was the end of my career as a starter. And it was simply centered around, in my mind, about my own analysis of my career, is I got comfortable. And that creeps in to everybody in every profession. When you think you got it, and everything's clicking, and you start watching less tape, you start working less hard, you start assuming certain things, but that young, hungry, you know, guy behind you starts selling more than you, starts studying more than you, is younger than you, is cheaper than you, and is a part of their big plan when I'm just a part of a real small plan.
I'll tell you what, you're exactly right, and that's tremendous insight into everything that you went through in your career. And I'll tell you this, Johnny Manziel, after that game on Sunday, was unhappy, and I know that he was out of there very, very quickly, and he looked agitated to me leaving. And I think he knew that he had an opportunity to help this team win and wasn't given that opportunity. And now he's going to get said opportunity, and I think he's going to make the most of it this Sunday against Cincinnati. Brian Hoyer did the best that he could for the Cleveland Browns, and I think ultimately, as Mike Pettine says, it's a pass-fail league, and ultimately too many failures down the stretch, and that's why a switch is made. And it'll be good for the Browns to see what they have got in Johnny Manziel over the final three. Again, multiple reports, sources confirming it. The Browns have not officially stated that Johnny Manziel will be the team's starting quarterback, but I would expect some type of an announcement like that to come soon, as it could come today or it could come at Mike Pence's press conference tomorrow. Let's go to George in Chardon on the line with us now. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Number one, I totally agree with the change. Unfortunately, I think it's a game or two too late, simply because of the fact that even if Johnny has some success, the Browns' chances of making the playoffs are very, very, very slim. Now, that said, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think either one of these quarterbacks are the answer. You know, we're going to go into a season next year with the same question mark that we had going into this season, and that's at the most important position on the field. I don't believe that even if he has some, Johnny has some mild success in the last three games, which I think he probably will have simply because of the fact that he's a new entity in the league from the standpoint of the teams we're about to play, and we don't know what we have. They don't know what we have either. So he may have some mild success based on that premise, but, you know, once he plays three or four games and the book is out on him and they see exactly what he does against NFL-caliber players, it's going to become tougher and tougher for him to be successful. I think that next year, I think the Browns are definitely going to be looking for another quarterback because, you know, I think Hoyer's gone and Johnny is probably, depending on what he does, I don't think he's going to be much more than a backup.
I don't agree with your last statement that Johnny Manziel is nothing better than a backup. I think that is yet to be proven, so it's very hard to make that statement. But I do, in fact, agree with the first half of your statement in saying that we may not get much better, and I don't think at this point, unless Johnny Manziel goes out and blows the doors off or wrecks this league, as he said, you know, or in the text to Dow Loggins about himself pre-draft in the Cleveland Browns, that I do think it's going to be a competitive camp next year. And I don't think, because Coach Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer and Jimmy Haslam want to win football games. They want to win for this organization and win for this city, not win with a certain quarterback. That's just not part of their statement. That I do think there's going to be some type of mid-tenured veteran to come in and that can play and has significant time in the NFL as a starter to compete with Johnny. But more so than anything, it's to solidify the quarterback position and maybe push Johnny to be as great as some people who, you know, think that he can be.
I think there will be another quarterback here because it just makes sense. And whether the Browns decide to draft one, bring one in, retain Brian Hoyer, if that's what he decides that he wants to do, that's fine. I don't think it's going to be a big competition if Johnny Manziel comes out and plays well over the final three games, because I think for Johnny Manziel, you need to get this guy as many reps as possible. And I think that's why it wasn't even really a competition this year. 21 opportunities, I believe that it was, to take first-team reps. Brian Hoyer got 17 of those. I think Johnny got four, and one time they shared, so maybe 22 opportunities. I think that if you want to go with Johnny, you need to get – he's still a young player. He's going to have started three games going into next year. If you feel comfortable that he's your guy, you go ahead and give him the football and give him as many reps as possible and continue to immerse him in the learning process of what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL. Teddy Bridgewater, who I thought was the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft, you guys all know that I was a huge fan and supporter of his and hoped he had ended up here. He's a guy that started off a little bit slow but has really come on strong now because as he's gotten the reps, he's gotten immersed in it, he's got the understanding of the North Turner offense and has been getting the bulk of the work every single day in practice as the starter, getting his feet wet. And I think it just shows what you can do with a rookie when you get an opportunity to get out there. So I think they will bring someone in who can play, but my point with Teddy Bridgewater is first three games, no touchdowns, three interceptions. Then you go through the next four games for him, four touchdowns, three interceptions, and now you come to his final three games, six touchdowns, two interceptions, and this team's won four of their last six in Minnesota. You need to give rookies a little bit of time, and I think once you get an opportunity to get, once you get that opportunity to give Johnny these three games, I think you're going to come out of that and see enough highs. I'm not saying he's going to be perfectly consistent,
right,
but you're going to see, what I'm hoping to see in these three games are the highs. What does it look like when Johnny is playing Johnny football and doing well, being successful? And if I can see that, I know that with time, with work, with dedication and reps, we can kind of eliminate the bad and get it so it's a higher percentage of the good.
And in your eyes, I think also too, just because, you know, we are still human beings with emotions and certain mentalities, I think that them giving him the football, if they see enough of those highs and they commit that football to him as the starter and give that vote of confidence, makes it that easier. And his willingness, in some cases, maybe as an erratic personality-wise with some off-the-field stuff, for him to commit to being a professional and growing in the next 8 months and assuming that role as the starter and the franchise quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
That's right, and we will see that era will begin this Sunday against the Cincinnati
Get
Bengals.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your it's going to be that is going to be big time viewing for the Cleveland Browns, obviously. Multiple reports again saying that Petten told Hoyer and Manziel this morning of the decision to make the change. Manziel preparing immediately. Jay Glazer, the first to report it, and the Browns still have not fully committed to it, but I think they will very, very soon. All right. We will be back with more here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.